I'm Margaret Brennan, and this is In Business.
Tony Hayward is out. Bob Dudley is in.
Loads of economic data coming out this week. Breaking news just crossing.
One of the icons on Wall Street. He joins me here.
Watch In Business weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern
on Bloomberg Television.
This podcast is brought to you by Bloomberg Law. For more information about our professional services for the legal industry, please call 212-617-6569.
So long as the government is intent on having Fannie and Freddie dominate the market, it's just impossible to compete with the government.
This is the Bloomberg Law Podcast for October 5th, 2010. I'm Lee Pacquiao. It's October, and it's still all about housing. It's clearly hanging over the economy. So today we're going to take another look at the mortgage lending markets. My guest is Rick Fried, partner at law firm Strook, Strook & Levin. So about 2 weeks ago, we had the brilliant Stuart Zapt on the program to take us through Title 14 of Dodd-Frank, 200 little pages that got slipped in seemingly at the last minute. What are your thoughts on this section? Are these restrictions on lenders as burdensome as they appear?
I think it's sort of a multi-part question over there, because as with many of the Dodd-Frank provisions, a lot remains to be seen what the final regulations are that come out with the regulators. But sort of putting on my prediction glasses and looking my crystal ball, I think they will be extremely difficult provisions to comply with. And I think looking at these Dodd-Frank provisions, as your prior commentator said, it's really going to put tremendous burden on banks to decide whether or not to continue originating residential mortgage loans other than what can be sold to the government agencies for their securitizations.
So in the last 15 or so years, with the advent of securitizations, we've seen a whole infrastructure develop. Who in the future is going to assume both the economic and now the legal risks imposed by Dodd-Frank in the future in terms of originating new residential mortgage loans? Are we going to see the same players adjusting, or do you think new participants are going to have to enter the market to make up for the gap?
Well, I think a lot of it depends upon what ultimately happens with the GSEs. So I think if you look at where things are currently and where they have been over the past several months, the GSEs have a huge proportion of the residential mortgage market. I've seen some recent studies saying as up to 90% of residential mortgage loans are sold to the agencies.
Right, the numbers are nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the remaining loans, there are some jumbo loans that are being funded, but those are to the super credits, you know, people who have extremely good credits. Those loans are being made by banks, and they're keeping them on their balance sheet because in today's market, they just can't sell them either as whole loans or as securitizations in anything that makes any economic sense, given where interest rates are, where spreads are. It just can't work. I believe that certainly over the next few years, the residential mortgage market is going to be significantly smaller than it was in its heyday. There'll be much fewer players there. So it's all about getting access to capital and being able to sell the loans in securitizations. And currently, the economics aren't there. Investors are not clamoring for subprime mortgage loans. It's very difficult to compete with the government as long as they want to remain the big elephant in this market. And I think what you're seeing is that people with very good credit who are able to get conforming mortgage loans, which are much larger now than they have been in the past, and under recent continuing budget resolutions, I think the large size of the conforming mortgage loans will continue at least through 2011. So good credits can get mortgage loans, and you're seeing people with less than stellar credit, while interest rates are very, very low, there's a reluctancy to make loans to them because they're not conforming by definition, so they can't be sold to the agencies. Banks don't want to keep them now, and with the changes coming down the road with increased capital requirements, looking at the FDIC safe harbor that came out, the proposed Reg AB changes, it's going to make securitization much more burdensome and much more expensive. I think that all translates into having fewer mortgage loans available for homeowners.
It's interesting. I mean, we've been working under a securitization model for many years now. It seems as if the government, whether intentionally or not, is intent on changing horses midstream. The thing about that, you need a second horse to jump to. Did Congress just kill our system for originating residential mortgages on a large scale without a viable alternative?
It certainly appears that way. That's where the handwriting is. In looking at both what Congress has done and also the FDIC and their safe harbor rule, on the one hand, they're saying that a viable securitization markets and being able to get private capital to originate mortgage loans is important to getting us back on track, getting housing prices to start rising again, turn the economy around. But on the other hand, regulations are coming in that are making it extremely difficult for those who even want to originate mortgage loans and go into that business to do so economically. And I think what we're seeing here is oftentimes what happens when the pendulum swings too far one way, when you had, you know, 2005, 2006, where there was either, you know, no credit standards or exceedingly liberal credit standards, and we saw what happened there and the problems. So the tendency is to bring the pendulum back too far the other way, as opposed to having it come somewhere to equilibrium where there can be protections to make sure the abuses that came into play are not replicated, but at the same time putting a position in place that encourages responsible lending on economic terms that banks and non-banks can come in and make mortgage loans. But again, so long as the government is intent on having Fannie and Freddie dominate the market, it's just impossible to compete with the government.
I want to get your thoughts on where we're going with Fannie and Freddie. Do you think the government is going to continue to have a large role in the residential mortgage finance market? How is this going to work going forward? It seems as if both the GSEs escaped reform in this current round of regulation.
Well,
what's next?
They certainly did, and so much of what happens with the GSEs is political. And a lot of that, I think, is going to come down to what happens over the next few years in Washington. There's some self-serving language in Dodd-Frank that, you know, goes through and says that there should be reform of the agencies. But as you said, there's nothing is said about that. Under the current administration, there seems to be a view that keeping the agency strong and having them dominate the housing market is the way this administration is tending to go. So, you know, I think certainly until that changes, in my view, there's not going to be any meaningful reform or step down in the role played by the agencies in the housing market.
Right. We've talked in past programs about how the government has thrown everything at the asset side of the equation, done seemingly almost everything that they can to get asset prices back to the levels that they once were. At what point do you think we're going to have to deal with the debt?
Well, it's difficult to manage a problem just by attacking it one side. It's a multifaceted problem, and I think you're correct. Currently, you know, to date, it appears that only one side of the equation has been focused on and that more needs to be done on the other side.
So if you are to take apart Fannie and Freddie, where do you start? I mean, the problem has been put off for so many years, and it's just grown just in the last 3 years. The balance sheets of both the GSEs have exploded. What's the first thing to look at?
Well, I think you have to, and again, a lot of this may be politically unpopular or not viable, certainly for the next few years, but you have to take back a step and say, what are the roles of the agencies to begin with? Are they there to effectively nationalize the housing market? And if that's the decision that is made, well, then, you know, that's the decision that's made, and that's just a political situation. If, however, the thought is that they're there to help the housing market, but that you really want to have private money come in and not have a nationalized housing industry, then, you know, there's some easier steps that can be taken, such as returning to more normal dollar amounts the maximum amounts of conforming loans. So you can start having some jumbo loans made in the private sector and have it done at cost that makes sense. there are, you know, ways that maybe the government can start selling off some of their huge portfolio of loans and sort of deleveraging that way. So there are several things I think that can be done, but it just doesn't appear, in my view, to be an appetite to do that or the political will to do that.
I'd noticed comments out of Treasury a couple of weeks ago talking about how they wanted to unwind some of their portfolios, but they have these large guarantees. I think something like over 70% of their obligations are in the form of guarantees. How do you unwind those? Is there any way to really kind of fix that part of the equation?
I think it's very difficult. If there were easy answers, they might be doing it by now.
Yeah.
So I think, in my view, you know, you try to get some of the low-hanging fruit, and that would be on a going-forward basis to try to phase out or at least ratchet down the huge footprint that the agencies have on the housing sector to try to encourage a private lending. And as I said, unfortunately, from where I'm sitting, the regulatory requirements that are being imposed on banks and even non-banks through the SEC's regulation are increasing the cost and burden with securitization. If you're a bank, you know, you look at, you know, mortgage lending, whether you want to go into that business, as to, you know, whether or not it's profitable, whether you can do it on a cost-effective basis. And to the extent that under the accounting changes, even if you did a securitization, chances are you're going to have to keep those assets on your balance sheet, hold capital against it. Therefore, at today's environment where you can take in deposits at, you know, just paying a few basis points on the cost of funds, there doesn't seem to be a real compelling need or interest to go out there and go through the increased costs and burdens of securitization. So in today's economy, in today's market, I don't think you're going to see many securitizations, which is why, you know, outside of that one deal that was done by Redwood earlier in the year on the the jumbo mortgage loans, there have not been any private label securitizations for quite some time, and I don't think anyone predicts we'll see one for the foreseeable future either.
Right. This is tough stuff. I mean, everyone seems to be of the opinion that in order to get the macroeconomic picture turned around, we need to get the U.S. housing market heading in the right direction. I don't see how this part of the Dodd-Frank bill helps the situation. Let's leave it there for now. Rick Fried from Strzok, thank you very much for your time today, sir.
Thank you. My pleasure, Lee.
Copyright 2010 Bloomberg Finance LP. All rights reserved. The views expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not of Bloomberg Finance LP. These discussions are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice, which has to be addressed to particular facts and circumstances involved in any given situation. Bloomberg Finance LP and its affiliated entities do not take responsibility for the content contained herein and do not make any representation or warranty as to its completeness or accuracy.